Hi, you're listening to the Raise the Vibe with Liz podcast. I'm your host, Liz Peterson. I interview today's inspirational speakers and healers. Thank you for listening to the show. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. This is Raise the Vibe with Liz, and I'm your host, Liz Peterson. And today I have the pleasure of interviewing Lauren Grace. For those of you who aren't familiar with Lauren, let me go ahead and read her bio for you. So Lauren Grace, owner-operator of Lauren Grace Inspirations, is a highly sought-after business and life mentor, course creator, medium, seer, and host of the Afterlight podcast with Lauren Grace. Lauren passionately supports spiritual professionals to help them live their best life with a profound focus on time management and cultivating a positive mindset. Lauren's mission is to empower individuals to love their lives and businesses and find true fulfillment. With over two decades of experience in radio, online platforms, events, management, marketing, and sales, and being on the spiritual journey for nearly her whole life, Lauren possesses a diverse skill set that enables her to provide comprehensive guidance and training to spiritual professionals. Awesome. Lauren, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you.
Thank you for having me, Liz. It's so interesting to be on this side of the interview seat.
Right? That's how I felt with you last week when I was sitting in the hot seat. Thank you again for having me on your podcast. I had a great time and I'm super excited to have you on mine.
Me too. I love that. I'm excited for what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. So I want to learn more about you and your mediumship and your life as a seer. So let's jump right in and tell me a little bit about your journey with your psychic abilities. Did you always have them since you were a child? Are they just coming on right now? Can you tell us a little bit more about what brought you to this moment in time?
Yeah, it's sort of funny, you know, when you're talking about that I've been on my spiritual path for most of my life. And then you go, how old am I again? And, you know, it's a long time, you know, when we think about it in terms of human lives. But if we were to go way, way back, you know, into our past lives, it's such an interesting thing, the spiritual path and the psychic abilities and, you know, even life as a medium. So I guess what I could say is that I had a fabulous upbringing, an amazing childhood. I always was sort of a kid that had a lot of imagination. And I remember playing witches in my backyard when I was younger. And I got my first tarot deck when I was 13. And I was always really interested in the fairy world and elementals. And then after I got the Rider White deck, which is a little bit intense for a 13-year-old. Are you familiar with that deck?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like, whoa, maybe that wasn't the best intro. I really got into a lot of Doreen Virtue's work. So angel cards and the like. So I do sort of feel that I've always sort of dabbled with connecting with spirit in this lifetime. As far as my psychic ability, my seer ability, it's funny. I'm not really somebody who's had those deja vus before. I know that you've been on your journey for so long. It might be familiar to you to have deja vus, but for me, I don't find that I'm somebody who all of a sudden goes, I've been here before, but I've always had sort of an intuitive sense about things that I guess that claircognizance, that inner knowing about situations. So that sort of like, does this feel good? Does this not? Is there something I need to be aware of? Is there something going on here that maybe below the scenes that people aren't really picking up on? So I feel that I've always been very good at being able to discern that. So a couple of years ago, I was made redundant from my corporate job. And I had just quit the spiritual path for 4.5 years. And so I was finding my way back to it again. And I decided to start my podcast, the Afterlight podcast. And it was on that podcast that I started to interview professionals such as yourself. And I went, oh, wait a minute, I'm empathic. And it opened up this whole world of understanding for me where I never really understood that before. Being on the spiritual path, I knew I was kind of aware of that there were other things going on. I used to dream about people who had passed over and stuff like that. But I never really understood about life as an empath, which I really think has sort of propelled me to the next stage in my evolution, I guess you could say, my journey.
Oh, being an empath can be so difficult sometimes. So share with the audience what your journey's been with being an empath, because I think so many people don't understand that they are an empath, that they are these clear feelers, these clear sensors. So go into how has that been for you being an empath? What is an empath? What does that look like in your life?
Okay. Yeah. As soon as you said that, I got shivers. I'm like, okay, I hear their spirits like, give it, girl. Okay, here we go.
Nice.
So I guess for me as an empath, I use the term, the way that I interpreted it is being highly sensitive, but it's not being sensitive in, it's being sensitive in a deeper way. So if you kind of imagine that you're a sponge and you're this beautiful, shiny sponge and you like leave your house and you walk around and anything that you engage with in terms of the content that you read, the content that you hear, the people that you cross paths with, the people that you drive by in your car, all those factors start to sort of seep into your sponge. And I find that, you know, as an empath, you feel all of that stuff deeply, but the challenge is that you don't know that you're doing it all the time. You don't realize that all of these things are sort of happening to you. So for me, I've always been somebody who is a really deep feeler. I remember I could watch commercials or movies, and I would just feel the grief and the pain of whatever people are feeling so deeply that it was very hard for me to sometimes shift it. So I could go from having a fabulous day to watching a movie that was maybe upsetting to all of a sudden my mood has shifted and now I'm not the same as I was before going into the movie. So I think that that's kind of a way that I'd like to explain it to people, especially people familiarizing themselves with that. One of the things that as being an empath, it showed up for me in my whole life as well was difficult conversations. If people wanted to have difficult conversations with me, which often people like to talk to me about things, I would sometimes have a difficult time shifting that, understanding that, you know, they maybe need to have a conversation with me, but that I don't need to take on all their grief or all their pain, which I think empaths tend to do subconsciously. So when I started to understand a bit about, oh, wait a minute, I'm an empath, then I started to understand a little bit more about energy management and cords, which are, you know, energetic connections that we have to people, places, things. And I started to understand a bit about spiritual maintenance and spiritual hygiene, and understanding that for many of my life, like my whole, maybe 35 years or something like that, even more, I never knew about all of that stuff, despite my my interest in spirituality.
Right. And so often we can go through life without these tools and not realize that we are that sponge and we are picking up all of this energy from everyone. And then what do we do afterwards? Can you, you know, share with our audience like the things that you do to clear your energy, to let go of all this residue that you're picking up throughout the day?
Yeah, sure. And it's funny. I'm sure this is the same for you, Liz. You know, as you evolve and grow, we learn new techniques. And sometimes I'll learn something and I'll go, oh my God, that's the truth. That's everything I've been waiting for this entire time. And then 3 weeks later, I'll learn a new method and I'll go, oh, wait a minute, that's the thing. So I think it's really important that people start to learn to discern their own inner truth within themselves. And the way that that shows up for me is goosebumps, shows up as sometimes shivers, sometimes I get a heart, like my heart will feel hot and I'll go, ooh, and I'll just kind of get this inner knowing that, yes, this is the right thing for me. So I'll give a couple tips and tricks on what I do, but I just want to encourage the listener at home to think about, well, if there's something within this that's maybe interesting to them, is there their own take that they can put on it? Because I'm sure you would know with cleansing your energy and being on the spiritual path, you really have to find your own truth. Otherwise, it won't stick. It won't make sense. And it will be for naught. So one of the things that I wanted to share with you is the idea of, okay, so initially, if you're an empath, one of the important things to do would be to clear your energy on a regular basis. So some of the techniques and tips and tricks that I use that I also share with other people, you can go into your shower. And if you imagine that in the shower, out of the spout at the top is a certain color coming in, a high frequency color. So for me, I always like people to choose their own color. You know, what color to you says refreshing, clear energy. For some people, it's yellow. For some people, it's blue and green. For me, it changes. I don't know what it is for you, Liz. For me, it's gold. Sometimes it's blue, green, light, light, light. Sometimes it's purple, white light. What would it be for you?
Definitely the purple, white light, or just white light, period.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what you do is you imagine this light coming down out of the shower in through your crown chakras at the top of your head, all the way down through your head, through your neck, all the way in the bottom. And you can just imagine in your imagination that at the bottom of the shower, that kind of like water is leaching out, and it sort of looks a little bit like rain clouds. And I always think that's a really fine way of looking at it. So if you just imagine there's rain clouds, and then the minute the color comes through or you feel clear, then you would know that you've cleared and cleansed your energy. That's one way. Working with Archangel Michael is another one that's really important. So we have energetic connections to people, places, and things, which are called cords. So if we sort of imagine that we have tentacles that are all connected to us and other people, when we have conversations with people like me and Liz, and our tentacles right now are sort of talking to each other, and they're like, hey, what's going on? You know? And sometimes what happens is we have tentacles or attachments or cords that are attached to people that we don't want to be connected to anymore, that are attached to that driver who cut us off in traffic. How dare they? That are attached to old places, people, and things. So cutting those cords on a regular basis is important. So I've got a couple different things to do for that. Number one, calling in Archangel Michael. He's got a really big, beautiful sword of light. He comes in with a dark purple blue cobalt light that he comes in with, and he can cut your cords. Now, when I ask him to work with me, I'm sort of intense. So I'm always like, all right, chop in the front. So he goes front, back, right, left, top, and bottom. And then what I imagine in my imagination is I imagine an explosion of light coming from the center of my being and going out. And what that does for me is it dislodges any of the roots that may be left in from cutting the cord. Because you know, when we cut off something, there's the root that's still in there. So that goes away. And then I'll call in Archangel Raphael, or I'll just imagine jumping to a big, beautiful vat of crystal sparkle, golden light, filling up all of those holes and sort of resetting me for the day. Now, one technique I want to share with you, Liz, and I'd love to know if you've heard it before. My girlfriend, Michelle Price, the light worker, taught me this one. So it's the karate chop technique. So let's say you're driving, and you know, Joe Blow cuts you off at the intersection and you're like, how dare you, right? So what you do is you actually take your hands, and I know for your podcast listeners, they can't hear me, but you can just kind of imagine that you actually are chopping off at your solar plexus, which is in your tummy in the middle. You're just going chop, 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 chop it off, chop, 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 chop. So Michelle didn't teach me that song. I seem to turn everything into a song, but you essentially chop off the cords like that. And then I kind of go shush, shush, and I shake out my hands, and I let the, you know, the energy go from that. And, you know, if you ever have a difficult conversation with someone, or even just a normal conversation, you can't stop thinking about that person. Doing that chop off technique is also super helpful. So let me see, the shower. I mean, I could go on and on and on. One thing I do want to say is this cool idea, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. So I was always taught to protect with white light energy. Okay. I was always taught. So you go in the shower, you clear and cleanse your energy, you step out and you put yourself in some kind of a shield. Now, as an empath and somebody who's an intense empath in terms of I feel things very, very deeply, I have a 7-layer shield that I put on. So every single layer is a different look, feel, texture. And I always encourage people to be very clear on what their shield looks like, so that if you're ever in a situation where you're afraid or somebody's up in your space, Liz, I'm sure it happens to you, you know, when people talk to you really close and you're like, dude, you're right in my energy, step out. I just go shield, shield, shield. And then my shield is just automatically on. And because I've set it up and I know exactly what it looks like, I just feel confident that it's there. Anyway, I've always been taught to have a protection of white light energy. Were you always taught that as well?
Yes, 100%. Yep. All the teachers teach white light, put yourself in a bubble. You can do the mirror.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So on my show a couple months ago, I interviewed this woman, Dr. Susan Corso, and we were talking about chakras. And so we're in the show, we're talking about, you know, energy protection, blah, blah, blah. She goes, yeah, I always use rainbow light and as protection. I went, what? And I kind of, you know, like mic drop, I was very confused. I thought, rainbow light? Why would you use rainbow light? So this is her idea. And I wanted to share it with you because it's so cool. And I really think it's just so neat. Okay, so number one, the idea is that when we have white light, that we need to protect ourselves from something. So we are automatically putting ourselves on the defensive. So for me, when I heard that, I was like, that actually resonates as truth for me. I can see that because as an empath, super sensitive, you're kind of always aware that there's all this stuff going on that you don't want to absorb. So, you know, you have that defensive sort of energy, which I think in a way is actually causes problems with being able to receive. That's another discussion. So you have the white light energy, and the white light energy really brings in that sort of subconscious feeling that you need to protect yourself against something. It's going to throw
100%. Yep, I'm right with you.
Yeah.
That's okay. Great. Keep going.
So she says, she's like, yeah, but if you think about it, people are subconsciously constantly looking for energy of the things that they need that they don't have. So let's just use you and me as an example. Let's just say, Liz, today you're just not feeling very brave. You're not feeling super powerful for whatever reason, okay? In your solar plexus chakra, your middle chakra, in your tummy, yellow, you may be feeling a little bit low. You may notice that I'm feeling fierce today. I'm like, I got my ducks in a row. Here we go. I'm feeling brave. I'm feeling courageous. You may subconsciously wanting to be drawing in a little bit of my solar plexus energy. Now creating a cord, creating an attachment. So the idea that Susan says, which I really resonate with, was so magic, was saying that people are just going to subconsciously try to take energy from you. They're not wanting to do it. They're not out there going, I'm going to take your courage today, but they're out there going, oh, you know, my energy is low. I'm going to see what I can find to help me fill it and feel better. So when we can bring in rainbow light, now the rainbow idea is connected and corresponding to the seven main chakra centers, which we won't go over today. I'm sure your listeners are familiar. They can Google it, but it's connected to all the main seven chakra centers. So the idea is that if we are intentional, instead of putting a white light of protection around us, that we put a rainbow light of protection around us. Now, we're putting a rainbow light of protection around us with source energy, with God's light, with, you know, creator, whatever you want to call it. And so all of a sudden, we have an abundance of extra energy, a plethora of extra energy that we are now encased in this beautiful rainbow light. And I'm feeling emotional while I'm talking about it, which is interesting. And so what we're doing is subconsciously we're saying, hey, you know what, Liz, sister, I got abundance of solar plexus, yellow, powerful, courageous light here, girl. You just take what you need, and you take what you need because it is all about giving and receiving in life. And you are not taking from the core, which is me, because I set myself up already with this powerful rainbow light to give enough for you to have some too.
Oh my gosh. I love that so much, Lauren. I love everything you just said from beginning to end, from working with Archangel Michael. I work with him all the time. I love how you brought in that extra, like after you've done front, back, sides, up and down. I do it too. Love Dorian Virtue. I don't know if you got it from her too, but love working with that. And I love how you blew it out afterwards to get those little tendrils and roots that hang on. And gosh, I could go on and on. I am super curious. You said you surround yourself with a seven layer shield. Now, then you brought up the rainbow shield. Did you see it as corresponding with your auric layers that correspond with your chakras?
That's funny. So I think, so originally when I understood about shielding my energy, because I never learned that until like 3 years ago, which, you know, surprises the hell out of me, I gotta say. But I started with one shield, and then I started with another one. And then over time, I've added on the different layers. So it just so happens, you know, divinely ordered, of course, divinely orchestrated, that there are seven. And then the rainbow light is kind of like, it almost seems as though it's a beautiful conclusion. It ties that whole concept together nicely.
It really does. And I love the abundance mindset. Like, I am full and I am abundant. We are givers. We are receivers. We're working with each other all the time on an energetic level. We don't even realize it. Go ahead, source me as I source myself. And then through that, like maybe subconsciously, you will go, oh, this is an abundant source of energy. You know, how do I tap into that myself? right? And then your energetic system will pick up a cue to go, okay, I can self-source and be there for other people as well. We're in this together. I love that.
That's making me think of, I think I shared it with you when we last chatted and I stopped to record, but I'd love to share, bring it up again, because I think it's really apropos of what you just brought up there in terms of, I have enough here. You have enough. I'm happy to share it with you. And it was that affirmation that I read from Florence Scovel Shinn. And the idea is basically that we are enough as we are already. And it's so cool because I read the book, The Female Archangels by Claire Stone. It's amazing. And she was actually talking a lot about don't bring in Archangel Michael, bring in your higher self and do it yourself because you are a sovereign being and you are powerful beyond measure. And I was like, damn, okay. So I did that. But I still like working with Michael, which we could say, you know, is almost a personification as well of our own energy. But that being said, I digress. The affirmation with Florence Scovel Shinn was, I cast over my burdens to the Christ light within and I go free. And I'm paraphrasing because I added burdens where she was more specific about situations, but it's just reinforcing that idea that we are complete as we are. We have enough in ourselves. And I think a big thing that we sometimes forget is how powerful we are. And in fact, you know, that's one of the things that stopped me from being a medium for a long time was because I was afraid of what was outside of me that I couldn't control instead of realizing that I had everything I needed within.
Wow. How did you work through that? How did you process that? Because I know a lot of people, when they're starting to step into their gifts and psychic skills and mediumship, that they do bump into that fear. So how did you navigate that fear? And what would you tell our listeners that they can do as well?
Yeah. So, okay. So I remember as a teenager, I was terrified of dying. And I discovered, sometimes I wish I knew how these things happen, but anyway, I bet you anything it was Oprah, my girl Oprah. So anyway, I discovered James Van Praagh's book, Talking to Heaven. Have you read it?
I love James Van Praagh. Yeah. I've done some of his courses too. He's amazing.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. So he changed my life. That book changed my life. I was like, wait a minute, what? People don't die? You know, it's like this whole game changer. And so I remember, you know, reading that and that really changed my life. And then Many Lives, Many Masters was another book that was really instrumental in my development. And anyway, so I remember that I would sometimes have dreams of people that had passed over and I could sometimes see like shadows out my side, out my peripherals and get a sense for things. But I was always very afraid of looking, if that makes sense. So sometimes, you know, I can go into a shopping center and I go, if I looked at all the dead people here, it would be insane. But you know, I don't look, right? It's a big thing too about also psychic discernment and having boundaries and whatnot. But I do kind of remember thinking to myself, I could look or I could pay attention, but I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to keep my horse blinders on and I'm just going to do my thing. Now, I used to watch a lot of horror movies. I was really into all that in, you know, when I was a teenager. And then eventually I started going, oh my, I really... I'm probably not going to watch anything scary anymore. I guess, you know, being this sensitive, I started to understand that a little more. But then I started to believe that some of this stuff is actually true. So it just really took me to the next level in fear in terms of not wanting to perpetuate that. So it wasn't until about 3 years ago that my theta healer teacher, Veronica McClintock, shout out, located in Darwin. If anyone wants her contact, let me know. She did healing on me. And she just went in. And are you familiar with theta healing, Liz? You interviewed Mark Anthony before on the show.
Yes, but very little. Go ahead and tell
me. Okay, so the concept of theta healing is essentially that we have these programs within ourselves. So we kind of imagine them as like a seed. Let's just say you have a seed within yourself and the seed has this particular idea and the seed could be derived from this lifetime, genetics, past life, or even a group consciousness idea. So if you have a seed of, let's say, I'm powerless, let's pretend this program, I'm powerless, or I can't control my own power, or I'm not able to stand up for myself, something like that. You would kind of identify what the program is and then you get to the root cause of it. So you might go, oh, I feel weak. Well, why do you feel weak? Oh, well, I don't feel powerful. Well, what's wrong if you feel powerful? Well, I might overdo it. So are you afraid of your power? Oh, I'm afraid of being powerful or something like that. So you get to kind of the core root issue. And then you can go in. So the idea is that you go up to the seventh plane of existence, which is a high frequency plane. You work with the creator's energy, and the theta healer essentially witnesses the creator go in and pull out this program and then replace it with the opposite program, including feelings of how to feel comfortable. So for healing, some people are just ready and you can get that healing and it'll be great and it works the first time. Some people, they need a couple of goes just because they may be holding on to it for whatever reason, it serves them for some reason, or maybe they're just kind of not really ready to step into that. But for whatever reason, I was ready. So Veronica went in, she removed this healing or this program, she put in a healing. And then I felt like, okay, cool, I can do this. I think that a big part about us as sensitives, as mediums, is that we need to remember, hey, if I don't want so-and-so in my house, I'm going to tell them to go away. And you could say it like that. Hey, go away. I'm not working right now. Or this house is only love and light. You know, that's it. Or I choose when I'm working and when I'm not. These are my hours of operation. These are not my hours of operation. It's always nice to talk in positives. So yeah, I had a healing. And it wasn't until a year later or so, last year, I was watching on Netflix, Tyler Henry, who I love, yes, but I was watching his Netflix special, not as much into the celebrity readings. I don't really care about that, but I just love watching the readings. And have you watched that special on Netflix with Tyler Henry?
I've watched his readings, but not the special on Netflix. That's next. Yeah. In the queue.
It's
love him.
Fabulous. Yeah, it's wonderful. So I watched that and I remember thinking to myself, if I can bring any healing to a parent or a child, anyone who's lost somebody that they love, if I can bring a glimmer of hope to them that reminds them and encourages and lets them know that we live on, we just shapeshift into something new and different, then I want to be doing that. And that's when I really understood that's a big part about where my future is doing mediumship. So after that, I started working with a mentor and started doing a lot of practice sessions. And now I do that as a service.
Nice. How has that opened up for you since you started doing that? Can you describe like what you were drawn to? If somebody's got these abilities coming on for them right now, like what is a process they could go through in order to sort of hone their mediumship skills or open that up for themselves?
Okay. I would think, well, first of all, I think it's important to have a mentor in things, especially when you're exploring new territory. People have gone before us. There is no reason why we need to sit here and reinvent the wheel and make things difficult. You know, I was talking to a woman in business the other day and she goes, I just prefer to do things, you know, my way and figure it out. And I'm going, well, if you want to take 25,000 years to like do it, go for it. But if you want to fast track success, get a mentor, take a course, you know? So number one, I think it's important to find a mentor, especially somebody that you know their work, you know their ethics. So that's what I did. I found a mentor. One of the things too that I was talking about earlier is you have to find your own truth within stuff. So sometimes my mentor may say to me, hey, this is the way that I do it. And I'll go, well, that's not going to work for me. It doesn't make sense for me. I'm going to twist it and do it like this. So I think it's finding a mentor. I think it's jumping in without having any expectation. So the first time that I did a mediumship reading, so basically we had one session, she wanted to assess what clairs I had, so my seer psychic gifts, so we went through that. And then the next session she goes, okay, so I have this person, I want you to connect with them. And that, like, I literally was in the body of somebody else. I looked down, I saw her shoes, and I started talking like her. And this was a woman who had been, it was a really difficult reading because this woman had been murdered basically. And I thought, wow, talk about throwing me into the deep end. So it was really interesting. And I know you would experience this as well. It's sort of like when you're doing, because if I had said that to myself a year ago or 2 years, I would have said, "All right, girl, you get out." Like I would never even attempt to do anything like this, right? But when you are in that state, when you've done your meditation and you're protected and you have your guides there and you're just wanting to be of service with the highest intention and the highest good of all, you don't have the same fear and the same concerns as you do when you're just in your normal state of being. So it's as though we have two brains. We have our God consciousness, higher awareness brain, and we have the ego brain that thinks everything's the end of the world, right? And wants to make everything a big deal. And when you are legitimately in it and in the zone and channeling that, you just deliver the information, and you deliver the information without telling the story, without adding judgment, without having any ulterior motive than to just be the channel for source. And that energy just comes in and it leaves you just as quick. And so I guess, I'm not sure if I'm really answering your question, but the idea would be to go slow or at the pace you feel comfortable with. I think it's about having a mentor and taking those steps to make sure you're doing things in an order that you can handle. And it's practicing. It's not being afraid to get it wrong. I did over 40 free readings for people before I started looking at this as being a service, you know, that I would be charging for, because I wanted to, I'm sure it's the same for you, learn from every experience. Every reading is a bit different. Your guides, sometimes they'll show you something one way and then they'll show another way. And then you go, "Oh, I like that. Show me like it like that next time." You learn this new language that you have with them. And so it's about giving yourself, oh, I get that. Thank you. So it's about growing in confidence and trust for yourself and knowing that you don't have to get it right all the time. It's just about being there and being of service and doing the best you can, and not from an ego point, from a Christ-like perspective, a higher light, higher self perspective.
Nice. I like that description, Lauren. Thanks for sharing that. When you were describing your mediumship, it sounded like it went beyond that evidential mediumship and really into that physical mediumship, where you're, you know, in their body, you're seeing their shoes, you're feeling their body. Explain the difference between the types of mediumship.
Okay. So number one, I will say that what I'm able to do is sometimes dependent on my sitter as well. So the person I'm reading for. So I'll have some people that I'll read for, and they'll just be, to describe it, Lauren, I was just giving you all the energy and all the love I could. I was just throwing it all at you. And you get high on that, like high in the sense that you can raise higher to get the information that you need. Because as a medium, we essentially raise our vibration and spirit lowers their vibration, and then we meet in the middle. So when you are a sitter getting a reading, you know, I get some people, they come in, they got their closed arms, like, oh, okay, here we go. What's this going to be about? And some of them are in grief, and that's what happens as well. And I totally get that. But when we can open up a little bit to just the possibility of something happening that's cool and magical, and that there's a possibility here that we're going to connect with source energy, with spirit, with our past or loved ones, it changes the whole game. So I will say that I do find that that sometimes affects my ability to, or what I'm getting through. Now, some people come in really strong. Normally for me, because I'm all the clairs, I can see them. So I'll see them and I'll be able to paint a little bit of a description, what they look like. Sometimes their energy is so strong, it's as though this huge wind has just been blown at me and I go, whoosh, hello. Now I got to talk like this with my hands. I had a father or grandfather the other day, and I was like, I got to talk like this. I got to do my hands like this. I got to slap them together. You know, come on. I need you to work with me, right? Stuff like that. So you just kind of like change. Some people, all of a sudden, I'll be shouting and really excited more than usual. And then other times I might be softer, like the soul is really delicate. So sometimes it can show up in that way. It might just naturally change my mannerisms. So that's sort of the physical stuff that kind of happens. Now, also, because I'm clairsentience, which, by the way, if anyone's resonating, empaths can often be very clairsentient, since we feel a lot. And that is something that I've really had to work through, the fear of that. When I started mediumship, my mentor was working with me and she was like, you know, you want to really feel into this. And I didn't want to do that. And I didn't want to feel it because I didn't want to own it and then not be able to shift it. But she said to me, yeah, but very often when you feel an ailment, you know, like sometimes I'll get so nauseous, I just feel super sick or really cold or really sweaty or like just something's not right. Like my head hurts, I got really fuzzy. As soon as I sort of have that and then acknowledge it, I can shift it. And sometimes I just tap my collarbone and I'll be like, okay, got it. Got the message, move it on. So that's how it shows up physically for me. When I'm looking clairvoyantly, I can see shapes, colors, I can see people, I see scenes play out sort of like a movie, but my eyes are open. I'm a seer that sees my eyes open. And that's always really cool. I don't know about you, Liz, but sometimes colors are slightly off for me. So I need to be careful of being like, the dog is brown. Well, the dog may have been gray with a little bit of black in it. I mean, normally I can get that pretty good. But one time I said to someone, the car's purple. The car was purple. And I had the shape of the car and the side they were in and the scene. And no, the car's blue. I went, oh, okay. And then in another circumstance, is it blue? No, it was purple. So sometimes purples and blues can be a little bit tricky for me. So I just try to keep it sometimes maybe say, oh, it could be purple, blue, you know, it's like a color thing that's off. I also am clairaudient. So I sometimes will hear, very often I will hear songs. Songs are a huge one. Words. Even today in the conversation, I'll go, oh yeah, I get that. And I do this thing, oh yeah, I get that, which I have to kind of watch about doing that in normal life, because, you know, when people don't know what the hell is happening to you, and you like point to the sky and you go, oh, I got that. My guides drop in things, and very often it feels like it's on the right side of my head. So they come in and I go boom, boom, boom. But songs come in. I can hear sometimes the people's accents or the way that they talk. Yeah, so it's absolutely incredible.
Nice. Yeah, that is incredible. And I'm sure a lot of our audience members are going, wow, oh my gosh, I can't believe. But then you've been working with your mentor, you've been learning about your abilities. What advice would you give to the listeners for them to go, okay, I know I have this, this, and this. How do I hone these gifts? And how do I learn to listen to myself? How do I learn to trust myself?
Oh, well, I will say that I'm learning to trust myself and growing in trust every day. So one of the things that we want to look at is our language around that. So I don't say things like, I don't trust myself, or I'm improving every day and learning to trust myself. It's listening to those small little things that we get, those little intuitive hits. So someone offers you an offer, say they extend an offer to you. Do you want to go for coffee? All of a sudden your heart feels warm. Oh, my heart feels warm. That might be a sign that that's a yes for me. Cool. Oh, I feel anxiety. Okay. I feel a little bit of anxiety. Is that because I shouldn't go, or is it because I'm just nervous? Right? You need to discern that. So sometimes anxiety is there because on the other side of fear is a miracle waiting for you to happen. And sometimes you have to push through and be a little bit uncomfortable for a second. But that's different than feeling this feeling of maybe dread or crippling anxiety where you go, no, I absolutely cannot do it. So I think a big part about getting started is starting to notice how you're physically react to opportunities, to challenges, to things that show up in your life. How do you discern truth for yourself? For me, as I said earlier, goosebumps is a big one. Sometimes I just know it as true. I don't even have to think, oh, is that true for me? I just know right away. Boom, truth, boom, truth, boom, not truth. Okay. So that's one way we get started. Definitely have a mentor. So look at other mediums around. There are so many of them. See if you like their style. You know, when I go on YouTube, Instagram, I can listen to somebody. I can sometimes just see their photo and know if there's a connection or not. or I'll listen and I'll listen to them talk for 1 second and I'll just know right away if there's a connection or not. Evidential mediumship is very important. That personally is super important to me. Evidential mediumship is basically where we bring through evidence of the person who's passed. So for example, when I'm connecting with the soul and I say, I want to talk about betting on the horses. They bet on the horses all the time. I want to talk about the train. He worked at the train station and lived on the train, on the railroad. Okay, cool. So things like that are really, really good. You can get dates, names, places. Those sort of things are good. For me, when I'm reading, I always want evidence to come through, and then I'm happy to deliver messages, advice, things like that that come through. But I really want my sitter to feel that we are connecting with someone that they can connect to, that they know without a doubt. Otherwise, for me, just a message isn't the same without the evidence. So I think finding an evidential medium trainer is really important to do that. It's also giving yourself permission to not get everything right all the time. Now, sometimes when we're reading, and it's just practice, when you're reading, sometimes I'll say to someone, I'm getting the letter C here. And they'll go, no, I don't think. And I'm going, no, it is a C. There is someone with a C name here in the family that I need to talk about. C name, C. I don't really care. I said, it's fine. Let's write it down. You can come back to me, or it may drop in later. So it's really interesting. And then normally what happens, I'm sure you know, like, oh, it is C. Charlie was his son. Right. Okay. Right. But people don't always remember that in the time. So when you can practice being confident with yourself and delivering what you get, that's going to grow your skill set. I also think practice, 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 practice. There are so many people who are willing to spend time with you, and they're gracious because they know you're practicing. So if you get a couple of things wrong, it's not really a huge deal. And you don't have that big pressure of feeling that you need to be something other than what you are, which is just working at it and practicing.
Right. It's so important to get that practice too. So if they're looking for a mentor, how can they work with you? Is this something that you have started doing yet? Would you have a recommendation for our listeners?
Ooh, yeah, well, I work with Michelle Price, the Lightworker. I was also in a, for almost a year, I've been involved in a development group as well. So a development group is very good. I don't teach people mediumship because I don't think I'm the authority on that yet. There may be a time. I'm definitely the authority in other areas for business and life development, but not mediumship. So Michelle, our Price the Lightworker, I'd recommend you check her out. She's fantastic. Julie Ryan's got a fabulous course that teaches. Jennifer Rose Medium, she's fantastic. I think Leanne the Barefoot Medium does training as well. Jen, I think Jamie Day, she does training as well. These are people I've had on my show that are really fantastic. So I would recommend that's a great place to get started, but happy to answer any DMs that people want. Yeah. But you have to really connect with that person, isn't it? Because, you know, somebody's going to listen to me and go, oh, I'm really connecting with you. And other people may go, no, it's not for me, which is fine. Because there's a lot, you know, there's abundance mindset. There's more than enough for the world, you know, just got to find what suits you.
That's awesome. And I love how you can just rattle off everybody's name. That was fantastic. Do not ask me to do that. That is not going to happen.
It's your show. I'm not interviewing you, Lucky.
I also love how you brought up the mediumship circle and a psychic development circle, right? It's so important to do that weekly or biweekly or every other week practice. I did that myself, worked with somebody every week in a mediumship development circle, and it was fantastic. I'm getting ready to start my own here locally in Tacoma while I'm at work on Tuesdays. Super looking forward to that and hoping people will join in. So what was one thing that you found that was an obstacle for you?
One thing?
It doesn't have to be one. It could be many.
I think my biggest obstacle, let me reframe that. The thing that I am improving on every day.
Oh, I love that.
Is mindset for me. It's mindset. It's not spiraling. It's not living in my head. I'm somebody who I'm a high achiever. So I always have 25 books on the go. I'm always in a masterclass. I'm always learning and training with someone. I'm listening to 25 podcasts. You know, I'm always just hungering to improve myself and be the best version. And I feel in a way that when I can do all the work and I can give my golden nuggets to people, they don't have to do all that. The challenge with that is that I can often be in my head a lot. And so when, I just got like a crazy frequency in my right ear. So I'm like, okay, who's here?
Probably mom. But, she's been around. I think the reason why you use the letter C is because mom is Connie. I don't know if you, when you're doing your talks, if you always use the letter C as an example.
No. Like,
okay. Because she's been around since before the recording. Yeah.
Oh, that's so, okay. Fantastic. I love that. Well, I just got a high Z, which is nice. Interesting. However, for me, right side for me is male energy, but it would be on your left side, which is interesting because we're on Zoom, so we're opposite. Mm-hmm. But okay. Yeah. So spiraling is a big one for me. So for me, it's about understanding that, okay, I need to do certain things in my life so that I'm not crazy in my head. So yoga is important. Going out for walks is important. Meditation is important. I also have different tips and tricks that I do to quiet the mind. For example, I go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I'm not my mind. I'm not my mind. I'm not my mind. I'm very clear on when I'm talking in my head and remembering that we have a choice to keep the narrative going or not. Sometimes I just spiral and I go, I'm allowing myself to do this. Why am I doing that? You know, being a little bit more compassionate with myself is one of the things that I'm improving on. Understanding that I'm doing the best that I can and I don't have to be perfect. That's something that I'm improving on. Just learning to love myself for who I am, despite whatever shortcomings I think I have. That's a big part of it, I think, for me. Opening up my heart more, not being, I think that as an empath, I'm kind of using this crutch, but I think that I always, because of the sensitivity factor, I think that it was just easier not to feel all your emotions all the time because it's so much when you're feeling everyone's stuff. It's intense. So I'm really working at just loving myself more and yeah, just being patient with myself along the journey. So, but for me, it starts a lot with mindset and talking to myself nicely and making sure I'm doing things and putting things in place to avoid being crazy in the head as much as possible.
Nice. I love that. I think I'm a work in progress there too. And I love that 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I am not my mind. I'm not my mind. Like that's fantastic. I love any way that we can kind of flip the switch on when we start, you know, on the hamster wheel of life, you know, yes. In our minds, and we can turn that off. I think that's uber important. And then that also helps us in our, you know, psychic development or mediumship development is that differentiating and being able to catch those, right? That awareness that we have about what's going on in our mind, because when we start to do the mediumship, you know, we have to release the mind in order, you know, that surrendering of the mind to allow. Can you talk a little bit about that? That differentiating and that surrendering of the mind during practice?
Yeah, definitely. For me, when I'm going to go into a reading, it's as though I can flip a switch and I'm in. But if I take the time to set up properly in terms of meditating 5-10 minutes before, opening up all my chakras, protecting my room, going up to the seventh plane, coming down, I have these sort of things that I do to really elevate me higher. That really helps me to get out of the head and then just into the receiving mode. Meditation, though, is a really great way of being able to do that. I know a lot of people can meditate and then they'll do automatic writing where they'll just write their impressions, write things that they get from there. Some people meditate and then do an oracle card for the day or, you know, try to get some clarity from their guides to assist them. So meditation is automatically going to set you up for an instant reboot, basically. So that's a huge thing that I would recommend you do. For me, when I'm working, that's always important to do, but I can just flip a switch all of a sudden and then I'm working. And then I find that as long as I'm feeling good, which is pretty consistent, then I'm able to really reach and then receive. It's just like a practice thing that you do. So it's kind of, you go, okay, I'm, oh, right. That's right. Thank you. Okay. One of the things that I do, which, so my background's radio broadcasting. That's what I originally went to school for back in the day.
Nice.
And so dead air is not an acceptable thing in radio, right? You just don't have dead air. So when I first started mediumship and I'm reading for somebody, I've always felt the need to keep performing for them, right? Where, you know, you're my sitter, you're sitting there and I'm going, okay, I better keep you entertained while I try to discern this information. Well, that actually was really causing me some problems because I wasn't doing enough listening. I was doing too much talking because I had this need, this insatiable desire to be able to fill the space. So what I did is I, on the direction of my development teacher, Andrea Haddad, incredible. She suggested that I just say, okay, I'm just going to look, listen, and feel right now. So I go, oh, cool. Okay. So I just say, all right, I'm just going to look, listen, feel right now. And then I give myself that space. And when you give yourself that space for a minute, you can come back to your breath. You can come back to a period of no thought. One cool exercise that I learned from Eckhart Tolle is this, where you go, what will my next thought be? And then you sit and you wait and you watch the thought. So what will my next thought be? And very often when you've practiced this enough, you can have a gap of no thought. Did you have a gap of no thought there, Liz?
I did.
I didn't really give you time to say. Yeah. And that is where the magic drops in. That. And I remember I taught one of my clients that and her jaw nearly hit the floor where she went, because that was the first time she'd experienced that fleeting moment of peace. And it's in the moments of peace that we get the goods, that we get the hits of inspiration, that we get the song lyric telling us what to do that we needed to hear, that we get that idea, that we just find ourselves again back in the seat of our soul, you know?
Oh, I love that. That's fantastic. We have enough time. Would you like to lead us in a practice or a meditation? I just got the ask, so I'm going to put it out there. Are you interested in?
Sure. What would be the focus of that? Is it just to come back to ourselves? Is it to meet a guide? Is it?
How about I let that be your choice? The first thing that pops in.
Okay.
Trusting spirit right now.
I hear that. They're telling me inner child.
Nice. Okay.
All right. So what we'll do, we'll just do a little bit of a shorty here. So what you want to do is you want to settle in. Just want you to feel your sit bones on your chair. Just come back to your breath. Close your eyes. That feels comfortable for you. If you feel comfortable, just put your left hand on your heart and your right hand above your left hand, and I just want you to feel your heart beating. The pulse of your heart. The warmth of your heart. Just coming back and taking those slow breaths. And if at any time you want to put your hands in your lap, that's fine. So I'm just going to get you to take three cleansing breaths in through the nose and out through the mouth, in through the nose, out through the mouth, in through the nose, out through the mouth, and one more, in through the nose, and out through the mouth. Just returning to your normal breathing now. If you want to rest your hands in your lap, just keep focused on your breath. And if any thoughts come, that's fine. Just notice them and watch them go, floating away like clouds. So now I want you to imagine that you're at the beginning of a garden path. So look ahead of you and you see a beautiful, beautiful garden. There's birds flying by. There's beautiful colors, flowers blooming, There's a whole bunch of roses and they're all blooming. What color are those roses for you? Just notice, no judgment. Are there any smells in the air? Maybe rosemary or lavender. Maybe you can even smell the sea breeze coming from far in the distance. Do you notice any sounds? Are those birds tweeting or making any noise? Do you feel the rustle or hear the rustle of the wind around you? Look around. And if you don't see anything, that's fine. Just keep coming back to your breath, knowing that you're safe. And I want you to look down in front of you. I want you to imagine what path you're on. I want you to see a path laid out in front of you, going through the middle of the garden. I want you to notice how excited you feel about this, because you know there's a special guest waiting for you at the end of this path. So is the path rocky? Is it grass? Is it sand? Notice what the path is like for you. Now I want you to slowly start to walk along it. Got nowhere to be, nothing to do. Just keep walking along the path. Notice the sounds of your feet as it walks along the path. Notice maybe the texture under your feet. Do you have bare feet? Do you have shoes on? Notice how that feels for you. And as you make your way along the path deep into the garden, keep noticing the trees and the plants, all the bushes around you and the smells. And far off in the distance, you'll see a bench. I want you to make your way to that bench now. Just going to give you a couple of moments to do this. Now, as you come up to that bench, I want you to notice what it looks like. Is it wooden? Is it made out of rock? Is it made out of cement? Does it have a back? Just notice this bench. Are there any cushions on it? Go ahead and take a seat. Come back to your breath. Keep breathing in through the nose, out through the mouth. Safe in this beautiful garden on this beautiful bench with nowhere to be. This is your happy place. Now I want you to notice whether or not you can hear laughter. Might be the laughter of a child. Might be the laughter of a teenager. Might be the laughter of someone younger than you, even in their 20s, 30s, 40s. Whatever age, it doesn't matter. Just notice, do you hear this laughter? Notice where it's coming from now. Get up off the bench if you need to, or look around. Maybe they're close by. Just give you a moment now to discern where this laughter is coming from and who's making the laughter. Now that you've seen who's making the laughter, I want you to go up and I want you to talk to them. Maybe introduce yourself. Maybe you know who they are already. See what they're doing. Are they building something? Are they playing? Do they have something to give you? Do they need anything, like a hug or a joke? Do they need some words of encouragement or some support? Just take a moment and see what they say. No judgment. Just give yourself this time to get to know this person for a moment. Exchanging stories or just being together in presence. And if you don't see anyone, that's totally fine. Just be where you are. Maybe they'll come sit down beside you. Or maybe this is just time for you to be where you are on your own. So I'll give you a couple of minutes to do this.
given a little bit of time to get a message or exchange something. This person wants to lead you somewhere special. So I want you to look and I want you to take their hand if you feel comfortable. And they're going to lead you down a special little path. And this path is rocky, big, beautiful boulders that you're walking on. You feel safe though as you walk along. And as you're walking, you hear the sound of water, sort of like a stream. You can hear the water drops filling up beautiful, magical pool. And as you get closer to this pool, you look on the edge and you see that there is a beautiful altar sitting there. And upon the altar, you have a pad of paper and a pen. And as you look out in front of you, you can see this magical pool is filled with sparkle light. And you know that this is no ordinary pool, that this is a wishing pool. And your special guest has led you here to take a moment to create a wish, to set you up for a beautiful week, a beautiful year, to take that moment to be intentional about what it is you want. So as they take you up to the altar, look and notice the pen beside you and pick up the pen if it feels comfortable and write down your wish. Don't censor yourself. Remember, this is your private wish. I'm going to give you a moment now to write your wish on your paper, fold it up, and place it into the beautiful, magical pool. Your special guest is standing out of the way and allowing you to do this. So I'll be quiet while you do. Placing your wish in the magical pool, watch as it slowly submerges. And then you notice that all of a sudden there's turbulence in the pool, as though your magical wish is shifting and shaping into something new. Bubbles start to spring up and sparkles start to lift out of the water. And all of a sudden, your wish has turned into a beautiful golden butterfly. And the butterfly soars high and high and higher above you and takes off into the clouds to deliver the wish and to grant you your wish. Now it's time to head back. So your special guest takes your hand again and leads you back to the path, leads you back to the bench, and says goodbye to you. And remember, your special guest is always here, and so is your magic pool if you ever wish to make another wish or have another conversation. I'll give you a moment now to say goodbye as you make your way back up the path to where we began. Slowly walking up the path, you get back to where we've started. Feel your feet on the ground. Look up and imagine a beautiful cascade of golden light pouring over you. Raise your hands and your arms up and bask in this golden light, which is permeating into your very being, healing and cleansing all the cells, your organs, your tissues, your skin, filling your heart with love and light, and setting you up for a beautiful day. And when you're ready, you can just come back, wiggle your hands, your toes, your fingers, and open your eyes when you're ready.
That was so good, Lauren. Thank you.
Oh,
so
good.
Much for that guided meditation. That was beautiful. Oh, it was lovely. Loved the
good.
garden and then going to sit on the bench and going to the pool. And I know our listeners are going to want to visit that over and over again. That was just beautiful and something that they can take with them too if they ever want to come back to that wishing pool, that they know that they can go back there themselves.
So often we don't ask ourselves what we want, right? And when we can go, oh, wait a minute, I can have a wish. Well, yes, you can have many.
Nice. That's beautiful. Lauren, this has been so much fun. It's been such a pleasure to have you. You're a plethora of information and so much joy. I feel like you're a soul sister. You're speaking my language.
Yes.
Love having you.
Thank you.
I always ask my guests before we wrap things up if they have a jewel of wisdom to share with the audience. So I invite you to share a jewel of wisdom with us.
I think that, you know, what I'm being, I was going to say coerced, but encouraged to say is that, you know, remember that you're doing the best that you can and that's perfect. And remember to give yourself grace and that we don't have to have it all figured out. And it's not about, you know, being perfect. It's about learning as we go. And there is always going to be light within the shade. There's always going to be that glimmer of hope within any challenge. And, you know, when we go through difficult times, they propel us to seek within ourselves, to find that resilience, to ask for help. So it's just about remembering that it's about the journey and to be kind with yourself as you take it.
Oh, I love that so much. So true. Thank you so much for that pearl of wisdom. Beautiful. And how can people work with you? What have you got going on?
Yeah, thank you, Liz. Well, I'm a business mentor as well, like life mentor and a medium. So at the moment, you can catch me on Facebook and Instagram. I do lives at 6 p.m. here in Australia most Tuesdays. Normally promote it. So just have a look there. You can find me over at the Afterlight podcast where I release 2 to 3 episodes every week. And also, I am going to be releasing a time management course, which doesn't really seem like it's on brand, but it's called Powerful Productivity for the Spiritual Professional. And one of the reasons why I'm going all in on that is because I fully believe that spiritual professionals like yourself, like me, we have gifts to share with the world. We've got products, we've got services, we've got offers, we've got wisdom. And when we know how to manage our time to overcome overwhelm, to avoid procrastination, to know how to prioritize, we get more of our energy back. We get more of our life back. We get to then all of a sudden have created space for friendships and psychic development and our spiritual journey and run successful businesses. So time management for me is a huge opportunity for people to really reclaim their life. And that's why I'm really going in on that. So you can get all the details from me at laurengraceinspirations.com.
Love that. That sounds fantastic. Yeah. What Thank a you. Great offer. And it is something that all entrepreneurs, okay, I'm projecting on entrepreneurs right now because that's
it's
me.
It's true though.
Right? It's true. It's tricky. Yeah. Especially that procrastination piece, like how to stay self-motivated and doing it, then have energy and time for yourself too. Where do you schedule yourself in? I love that. That's amazing. Awesome.
Yeah.
Everybody check Lauren out. See all of her offers and find her on social media. Lauren, it's been such a pleasure to host you. Thank you so much for being here today. It's been
Thank you,
fun.
Liz. Thank you for having me. It's been great.
Thanks. And thank you everyone for joining us. Again, I'm Liz Peterson and this is Raise the Vibe. You can find me at Raise the Vibe with Liz on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. And my new website is raisethevibewithliz.com. Thanks everybody and have a great day. Remember to get out there and raise the vibe. Bye everybody. Bye Lauren. Thank you for listening to today's show on Raise the Vibe with Liz. If you like this content and want to support me, please go to Patreon at Raise the Vibe with Liz or click the link in the description of this show. And remember, change starts with you. So get out there and raise the vibe. Thank you, everyone.